And you are in the royal room. I am Khalid Stephanat Farnia, and I'm about to sound. Just got to know tonight on Christmas Eve that there's one announcement I'd like to make without any successful contradiction, and that is... All right, everybody, thank you for coming into the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. I am Khalid Stephanat Farnia L, and tonight we're going to make it short and sweet. We know that it is Christmas Eve and that you're cooking and you're entertaining relatives and celebrating, and the season spirit is permeating our country and shopping malls and everybody. I see my brother out there, and I'm glad to see him. He's been one of our co-hosts for the last few weeks, and we just want to thank all of you and the PBS radio audience for coming in, and we thank you on this evening. And we say season greeting again. My brother, how are you over in our beautiful hometown and home state? What's going on? Talk to me. Kick us off tonight.
Everything is fine. I'm good. I've been sitting outside watching the moon. I wondered if Santa gonna need Rudolph's nose tonight because the moon is so bright. I guess maybe he can turn off Rudolph's nose and be able to find his way without that.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Yes, well, you know, neon nose. He won't need that nose tonight. It's so bright, man, outside. I'm telling the truth, that it's just remarkable. I just been sitting out here enjoying the southern night. My family's all well, and that's what it's all about. I watch the kid run up and down the road happy and delighted and excited and stuff. That's what does it for me.
All right. Well, we're over here in Greenville, Mississippi, and we're broadcasting live from the Moriah AHA Center, Leadership Center. And we have Frank in the room. Frank, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing good, man. You're doing better than ever.
All right. And Roman is here. Roman is here. What's going on, Roman? How you? I'm fine. And Earl, guess who I have here, Brother Imhotep? I have Earl Walker here. You know that fella? You know Earl Walker?
How you doing, Brother Earl?
Fine, sir.
Good hearing your voice, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, I've been missing you. I didn't know where you were, but I saw some pictures on Facebook, and I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're doing well, son.
All right, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got him kind of lined up going in the right direction there here for the moment. Let's see how long it lasts and how it holds out, and my beautiful sister-in-law is here with me tonight, and I'm thankful for her. I won't call her name, but she's here in the room with us. So, sister-in-law, how you doing? Just say hello.
Hello. Season greetings to you.
All right. So that's my sister-in-law. She's sitting in here, and, you know, I had promised the people, Brother Hotep, that we were going to discuss and decipher and break the code of Santa Claus. It's such a universal symbol, especially in the West, that we celebrate Christmas. And what is the real meaning behind the Santa Claus story? Do we know, of course, this is a real live radio broadcast talk show. We know that as we talk about and discuss these issues, it is near and dear to the hearts of many people. And sometimes, so I'd like to just kind of give a disclaimer before we get started. It is not my intent to offend or to hurt anyone's belief system and what they believe in, and in terms of this Santa Claus story. But I want to lay down some truths for you to not necessarily accept, but to at least consider, research, and examine. Because the stories that have been handed down to us ubiquitously, universally, have been given to us with great significance and great meanings behind them. Often they are clouded and hidden in what we call the hidden, which is a word we like to use, which is a cult. Now, don't run from that word cult and become afraid, because the word cult simply means that which is hidden. So we're going to talk about some of the hidden meanings that the Santa Claus story is kind of hiding from us. And I see brother, I see a good brother from Shreveport on there. He may know some of this already. Bishop from Shreveport, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, big brother. How are you tonight?
Man, I feel fantastic. I feel excellent, actually. I know we've talked about some of this before. So I'm going to make it real brief. I'm going to try to stay within a 30-minute parameter there for those of you that are in the BBS radio audience and those of you that are on the console that are coming in now. Down through the ages, we've heard about this story here. Santa Claus. There have been various fairy tales and gnomes and mermaids and naiads and fabled characters of galore. The ancient Norsemen, the Dutch, the Huns, and all of the Aryan races possessed literature profile with allegories, parables, and fables built around the wondrous and physical and chemical operations of the body. Yes, I see it. Of the human body. All of those stories that we hear of these fairy tales, these allegories, these parables, even including this story of Santa Claus, is a beautiful story of the operations of the human body. And I just want to point out some things to you, and then we're going to leave it there. And the birth of the monthly seed, you know, that is born in the solar plexus every 29 and a half days. In all of our bodies, based upon processes in our ties to the cosmos, is detailed in the story of Mother Goose and similar tales in all lands. Now, Santa Claus and Saint Nicholas is the patron saint of season fairers and virgins and children, and he's the bearer of gifts to children on Christmas Eve, which is today. And these festivals are celebrated all over the world. And they're held in honor of Santa Claus. And I think he probably ranks first in the heart of all humanity. The Santa Claus story. There's probably not too many people that don't know the Santa Claus story, young and old. And so this in itself is a significant fact that this story is ubiquitously told, universal. And it's time that the truth regarding this age-long custom be made known to the world right here on BBS Radio Audience. We're going to talk about a little bit what is the truth behind this story. And then you'll be truly celebrating something that you know is honorable, worthwhile, wholesome, and that can live your life truly to another level if you listen to what we have to say tonight. Because this story has come to us unmistakably by all that churches are celebrating, government is celebrating, our communities are celebrating, businessmen, merchants, commercial. It has been commercialized, and many people, unfortunately, the dark side of it is that many people during this season become depressed because they can't get the things that they want, and sometimes they get in financial trouble trying to accrue and acquire things that they need. But there is a Santa Claus. Let me say this, moving and shifting quickly. There's a Santa Claus, and it's a physiological fact. It does. I say again, it does secrete the most holy and wonderful gift or substance of the body in every individual. Let me say that one more time. Each one of you has a Santa Claus inside you. It is a physiological fact. Now, let me try to prove that in short order here. Sometimes it's like a short order cook to show you, because I've just made a bold, glaring statement that each one of us has Santa Claus within us. And I want you to understand it. I want you to receive it, because you can be blessed if you understand that Santa Claus, not some European Caucasian man coming from the North Pole with a white beard, dressed in a red suit with a sled with flying reindeers. No, I'm not talking about some literal person that's in you. But each and every one of us, this story points us to a kind of Santa Claus that's in us. So let me see if I can break that down. See, the Santa Claus or the Saint Claus is derived from the same root as the word colostrum. Now, what is colostrum? Colostrum, which is from cloister, is also derived. Colostrum means a barrier or a covered space, seclusion. That's what it means. I'll say that again. Colostrum means a covered place, seclusion. Cloister is referred to as a place of seclusion, and more especially as a place of seclusion for something holy, something dedicated to divinity, to God, something dedicated. So the colostrum now, of course, is in your brain. So there is a Saint Claus or colostrum in your brain. It's part of your anatomy in your brain. Now, how am I calling Saint Claus the colostrum of the brain? Because in our brains, there is a colostrum. And within the cerebrum. And whoever gave it this name knew why they did it, why they gave it. Because the suture of all the skull is a point where the bones meet. In all of our brains and our skull, there are sutures or lines that are made up of tiny fragmented bones that come together. We have cracks in our skull. It looks like the Kepler or the scarab bug. If you've ever seen the scarab bugs on the pictures of the walls of Egypt, it's a beetle. And if you see the lines in the back of the beetle, the skull looks just like that, with sutured lines and little bitty bones inside cracks. Your skull has cracks, and it's the point where the bones meet. And you can easily see this in the head of an infant. You can feel it in the heads of infants. You can feel those cracks in the skull. Those are your suture of the skull. And as the sections are thrown closely together, and the vibrations of the brain can be both seen and felt from these sutured lines. You can feel the brain wave. You can feel the throbbing of the brain through these sutured lines in the skull. And so in the Sanskrit, where you're from, Roman, in India, in Bangladesh, in the Sanskrit, it's called the door of Brahm, the door of Brahm, for it is the aperture through which the ego and the spirit leaves the body. So when our spirit leaves our body, it goes through sutured lines in the top of our skull. You know you're alive now, but if you were deceased, or if you know someone that's deceased, the spirit, the person, leaves their body. And we keep the body, and we go through a ceremony or a memorial or commemoration, a celebration of their life and legacy, whatever. But their body is left with us. So but when that spirit or you or the ego leaves the body, it goes through this sutured line that are in the skull. That's how it escapes through. And this is in Sanskrit. So directly underneath the door of Brahm, is a triangular-shaped body called the Island of Re'il. The Island of Re'il. That's a part in the brain something called the Island of Re'el. It's the place, according to some biblicists, where John spent his time on the island of Patmos. He looked back and saw the wonderful vision of the regenerated man in the island of Patmos. And this isle is the central lobe of the cerebrum. It's the central lobe of the cerebrum. Now, it is called the pole. Hence, the island of Re'el is the north pole in the body. And it is well known that it is the imperishable and sacred land. Now, in the anatomy book of Santees of the brain and the spinal cord, we find that this island is situated in the medial wall of the lateral fissure of the cerebrum between the frontal and parietal and temporal lobes. And it begins to grow after the fifth month in the embryo or the utero, and it gradually covers it over. So at the end of the first year, we begin to see that this is extrauterine life, and it entirely is concealed. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the brain begins to grow and to cover this particular space, and so that it becomes a covered place, this island that I'm talking about, and directly in line with this island is the optic thalamus, which is the brain. Now, the optic thalamus lies within the optic thalamus lies the colostrum, but it's separate from it, and yet three other bodies are attached to it. The colostrum is a thin sheet of isolated gray matter that's found in the medial to the island of Re'el. Now, in the anatomy book, it says that this sheet, a particular gray substance, is made up of a fusiform, which means a spindle-shaped cell body. It is from this colostrum that comes a, and I'm getting to it right now. Now, listen to this. Comes to a yellow substance or an oil within the outer grayish exterior. And that wonderful, priceless oil is formed, flows down in the olivary fistulas, and it descends all the way down the rubrospinal tract through the reticular formation in the pons and medulla, and which is a part of your brain, and then the lateral part of the spinal cord. Now, what am I saying? In your brain, there is an oil that comes from the colostrum, the sacred Santa Claus. It comes down your spinal cord, the chimney, which is your chimney. It is taking an oil. In this oil, it are the gifts of life. In this oil are the gifts that will provide for your entire body, every cell. You have trillions of cells in your body. This oil that's coming from the ground down the chimney, comes down the spine, now carries the substance, the energy, whatever our bodies need, it comes down carrying the electromagnetism to give us strength, vim in our limbs, and pep in our step, and twist in our hips, and put something on our lips, hips, and fingertips. And I thought I'd just throw that in right now, because it is vitally important that you understand that your brain is producing this oil that comes from a place called the colostrum, which corresponds to St. Claus, which is a holy place that is closed in as it comes down the chimney. So there's no man, Pastor Abbott, flying around the world. The world is you. The world are all of the trillions of cells or people, if you want to put it that way, that are living inside of you. If you want to look at all the marvelous organisms and mechanisms of the human body, how it functions with its 12 systems, with the skeletal structure, with the circulatory system, the respiratory system, the endocrine system, if you want to look at the the digestive system, whatever system you want to look at. All of these systems, these worlds that are interrelated, making you one world with billions of citizens living inside of you called cells. And these cells are now given this wonderful, sacred, divine gift of this holy oil brought from the colostrum, which is the Santa Claus. I think I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to let some of you all talk, see if I'm making sense, because I know this is some complicated stuff. So I'm going to stop right there and let you jump in. Any one of you, jump in right away. Bishop from Shreveport, M.O.T.E.P. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir, you're definitely making sense. It's just that I'm wondering if when they came up with the concept or with the idea of a Santa Claus, did they have that kind of knowledge or that kind of information readily available, or was it just something that they did and did it the spur of the moment after sitting up and thinking about it or whatever, and then it just so happened to be compatible with some of the stuff that you just discussed in regards to the colostrum and all the rest of the sacred and holy oils and stuff. It seemed like that is compatible with the entire scope of the conversation that you just had about the holy oils and stuff and the medulla oblongata and the cerebellum and all that stuff.
Well, they did have it in mind, but now here's the point. The message and information, again, you remember I used the word occult, which means hidden? This is knowledge that is not shared in open form publicly to the masses of people, but people that are involved in secret society and in the what we call the occult. One of those, of course, would be the Masons or the Eastern Stars. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And or some of the Rosicrucians or some other Eleusinian mysteries of Greece. Or the Isis, for an example, the Sisters of Isis, which really takes me into another discussion about Switzerland and what the true meaning of Switzerland is. But let's just get back to the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church, with all of its hidden mysteries and doctrines and practices. Here we have a universal celebration of something that occurs on the 24th and 25th that corresponds with what we're talking about. Everybody's involved with it, but no one really knows that this is really a story that was told by people long ago to point out the operations and a process in your body. Somebody at some point decided to make this hidden knowledge and to hide what we're talking about right now. Because once you understand this process and how it operates and how to regulate this particular process, then you no longer can be directed outside of yourself to a Santa Claus coming from a literal North Pole. But now you understand the importance of this quintessence of gold, meaning the most kind of beautiful, the gold and the oil is within you. It's really a rare gift.
So, Bishop.
Yes.
Can I say something? So, you are... Sir?
Yes, go ahead. Listen, I'm listening.
So you're saying that every 29 and a half days, the oil is produced and come down from an organ called the colostrum. The oil goes down the chimney just like Santa Claus do. Okay, when Santa Claus come down the chimney, which is the colostrum, he has the gifts in his hand. The gift that you're talking about is the oil coming down the spinal cord. And does the oil rest behind the solar plex And but yes, now
you got
but
you now, got I'm, the process. You're a little bit ahead of us, but keep going. You're doing okay.
But Santa comes back up the chimney. Now that's the oil igniting and going back up the colostrum to go to the brain to ignite the pineal gland.
Exactly. You just gave the whole process. You took him down the chimney and brought him back up. You just took Santa Claus in the oil that comes from the colostrum of the brain. That comes from the colostrum of the brain. You just took him down the chimney and you took him back up. But and you touched on some very critical things. See, but now, just to get the record straight, the oil is constantly being produced in your brain. Your brain is botanical and it's producing an oil. This oil is differentiated or divided at the pineal gland and at the pituitary gland in your brain. As it comes from the colostrum, as it comes from the colostrum in the brain, this oil, and it's carrying a vibration. It's carrying a rate and emotion, just like oil in a car. It's carrying a vibration and emotion. We call it RPMs. You rev up the RPMs and you increase the vibration in the oil. Now, this is very critical that we understand this. Why am I talking about this as being so critical? Because, see, the system wants to keep the vibration of this oil lowered so that the oil's vibration is not at a rate that causes your body to operate at optimum efficiency and health. So they're doing all kinds of things to your food, to your air, to your water, to the music you look at, to the vibrations that are coming across, and the frames that are moving so fast on the television that are affecting the electromagnetism in the brain. Your brain has brain waves, which means it has an EEG amp. It has electromagnetism in it. Electrical meaning positive, magnetism meaning negative. And so when the electrical forces that come from our universe comes through those sutured lines that I talked about in the skull, and it comes to the brain. The brain now receives this electrical vibration, and which causes it to secrete an oil. This oil is carrying that vibration. Now, what the system and the people that didn't want you to know this particular knowledge keep you enamored and in love with a Santa Claus in a red suit and a white beard didn't want you to know is because that will, that way they can control you. And they will never, you will never look inward to this oil to make sure that it is vibrating at the right frequency or rate of motion. Am I making sense?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's the problem now. We don't have the right teachers. You know, the problem in the church is on its own. It does what it does. Church has one thing on its mind. When it do what it do, we talking about money, we talking about power, we talking about sex. Now, we can get away from all that from the church, we can do some business. We ain't going to do no business until we get rid of all three of those things at. In other words, I'm telling you, this is where it lies at. Money, sex, and power. Now, if you can talk to me anywhere around that, we can talk.
Now, when you say money, sex, and power, that sounds like PMS. Power, money, and sex. So you're accusing the church of having PMS.
Church is about one thing, and I'm telling you. Church is about one thing. That's why I don't want to go to church. I will not go back in a church. I was dropping $400-$500 a month. For what? To watch him preach and look at the woman, or to watch him preach and get the money. It's a different story.
So, but this knowledge here tonight that we're talking about is a process that happens within your body. That, you know, the Bible does talk about make your body a living sacrifice. So, but if you don't know that your body is a temple that the Holy Ghost dwells in, and no one has ever told you what is supposed to happen inside of your body.
Why are we going?
Well,
tell me, why are we going?
I'm going to let the pastor, we got a pastor.
Tell me why we're going to church.
Pastor Abbott.
Man, I ain't fooling with Frank on this line.
Because I'm dead real. I'm real about it. Y'all know I'm real. You know, if you put 10 women on the front row and a preacher standing in front of you, in front of the top of the pew looking down, what the hell are you looking at? You're looking at those women and the damn money. So what's the difference?
But now, this is a process within us. And your body,
they have stepped outside of us. There's no process in us. Somebody has to teach us the process in us. That process is gone. It's nothing about no process in us no more. It's about the power of money, sex, and whatever else they want.
Come on,
I am not fooling with Frank live on radio.
You're not going to fool with Frank on live radio?
No, because it's like this.
Okay.
I don't have a sister in my church. I don't go to bed with my brother. I don't make that much money. But Frank is right in some areas. Frank is right. There are churches, there are pastors like that. And I just thank Frank for his guts. And, you know, this is the Royal Priesthood line. And we done had cuss outs on him. So what Frank said,
it's
all right.
That's what it's going to take, a nigga with guts.
Well, Bishop, I can say this. When you preached at my church, where was Frank sitting?
Frank was sitting in the pulpit with me.
He was looking at what? The money and the women. So we're going to move on.
And I ain't no preacher.
Well, now, moving back to the discussion of this wonderful oil and how it has, like an oil in the car. Let me just say an RPM. Just hold on 1 second, Roman. I'm going to let you go. I'm trying to hold Roman here. He's got to get back to the picture show and close the mall down and all that. The mall is closed. It's Christmas Eve. He got some greens on. Well, now, this is what we need to say. This oil that comes from your brain, have you ever thought about that when your oil in your body begins to dry up, your hair falls out, skin begins to crack, begin to get wrinkles in your skin because you deplete this oil. This oil that I'm talking to you is so vitally important to longevity, to your aging cycle, to all of these things that will happen to you. And there are those that want to deplete and to denigrate. When I say denigrate, I mean diminish the quality of this oil, this Santa that comes from the Santa Saint enclosed place in your brain, which carries a divine gift to the rest of your world, comes down, as the preacher said, your spinal cord through a particular channel, and then through the various mechanisms of the body and workings of the body, it carries this oil, which brings these vital gifts for the optimum performance of you as a divine being made in the image and likeness of the Creator. Now, let me say this one more time. There are those who stand to benefit if this oil's quality is diminished in you from the healthcare organizations, from those that seek to control you, control your labor and your life. If this oil is operating at an optimum efficiency, it is impossible for you to be enslaved mentally. It is impossible for people to enslave you, and you go to work and work and work and work for people. I'm trying to give you the knowledge of the upper crust of people who know this knowledge and withhold this knowledge from you and yet enslave you, and you go to work for them while they ride on their yacht and ride in their Learjet. And this is the knowledge that you need to understand this oil and this gift this season so that you can operate at an optimum level. I wish I had somebody I could preach to. I wish I had a church full of folks that I could tell them and sit them down and talk to them about this oil.
because it is in the Bible. David said, he anointed my head with oil. That's not somebody standing over you with a vial of oil, getting ready to pour something on you to get your hair and clothes greasy. No, it's the oil that's already in your head that comes from the colostrum of the brain. This is why the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Am I talking good, sister-in-law? Five had oil in their lamps. That wasn't Penn's oil. That wasn't 3-in-1 oil. That wasn't mobile oil. That was the oil that comes from the colostrum of the brain as a divine gift to you that carries the frequency of electromagnetism, and it carries the currents that make you operate not only just physically at your optimum level, but mentally at your optimum level, spiritually at your optimum level, emotionally at your optimum level. So there are people that do not want this quality of this oil to be as pure as it can be. But I can teach you, Brother Khalid, can show you how to get this oil. There are some things that damage this oil. Let me get back, because I know my preacher want to jump in, because he preached a sermon one time about the five wise and the five foolish virgins, some that have oil in their lamps. And then in Revelation chapter 11, there are the two olive trees that stand by the throne of God. In the book of Zechariah, there are the two olive trees that supply the oil to the lampstand. These are all analogies. Get away from the analogy. Get to the source and get to what the analogy in the Bible, the picture, is trying to point you to, and it is a process in your body. Solomon's temple had 12 parts to it, but it said that while it was being built, there was not the sound of any tool. 1 Kings chapter 6. And verse 7 said there was no tool heard while Solomon was building the temple. What kind of temple is that that can be built with no sound, not a tap, not a tick, no. So it's not telling you about a literal building. Get away. How many parts are there to your body? How many systems are there in your body? 12. So Solomon's temple is really just a metaphor or an analogy or an allegory of your body. And once you understand how to move away from the literal interpretation of the Bible to see what it is pointing you to, and it's pointing you to something, then you can begin to empower yourself. Then you can begin to liberate yourself. Then you can begin to free yourself from the mental, emotional, physical shackles that the people who have this knowledge that I'm trying to give to you are using over you. Improve the quality of oil in your temple. Understand this divine gift, and wow. You talking about a Christmas every day. You will have a Christmas. I feel like preaching. Don't preach. No. The professor is walking in. The professor got something to say, because the professor knows my nephew. He's in the priesthood curriculum. He is studying. He's growing fast. He knows about this oil, and he walked in the door right now, right here in Greenville, Mississippi. Where they're on my butt. I wanted to say something else that starts with, that's in the Bible, when the Bible talks about Jack and asses. But they're right here on my butt right here. But the professor is enrolled right here at the Leadership Center, and he knows about this all. Talk to me, Professor.
How y'all doing? We're going to do it.
Take your breath and relax.
Talking about the oil, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, which is the colostrum, which is the barrier in your brain, which creates this oil that flows down your body. And this oil is very precious. And this is how you know when you don't have enough oil, because you're going to start getting dry skin and balding. So with that saying, the oil is very important to us, and the real Santa Claus is really the colostrum in your body. So basically,
So you tell me the North Pole is where? It's in your body, your brain, and where's the chimney? The chimney, your vertebrae, your spinal cord going down your back, with the oil flowing down your body.
Okay. And I have to change everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and the North Pole, they say your body is sacred land, which is very important because that's where the beginning of the oil starts from. And the meaning of Christmas, the word Christ means oil. So you celebrate on Christmas, you really celebrate the oil that's flowing down your body.
This is from Louisiana. Will you take over, please? Bishop, from Louisiana, would you take over? Are we still on? Is anyone listening?
Yes.
Bishop, would you please take over? Anyone have anything to say?
Yes. this is Imhotep. This is the most fascinating, intriguing, hypnotizing, and mesmerizing thing I've heard in a long time. I have difficulty with people saying that, you know, I'm out of step with the reality, and the reality is primarily the reality of adhering to the concepts and the ideas of holidays, this, that, and the other, without really understanding it. You know, I know full well, and I have no doubts whatsoever about it. I will go forward with this information like fire shut up in my bones, and I will talk to the people and let them know. You know, I feel like a child, I suppose, in a lot of instances. When a child gets something that's good or something that's excited, he has to go and tell somebody. And this is the way I feel. After every session that I have on this program, I go and wear my wife's ears out. She's, oh, Lord, here he come, here he come, here he come. But this is the most fascinating, hypnotizing, and mesmerizing thing I've ever heard. And, you know, when you feel or believe or you think that you've heard everything, then all of a sudden, lo and behold, bam, it made everything is made clear to you. Without question, without everything is made clear to you. And you say, now, I wonder how is it then that it was something that was here all along, right in front of our face. We didn't see it because we've been blinded for so many years by what we've been taught and what we've been told and what we've been taught and what we were told.
Let me just jump in for 15 seconds and say this.
Jump on
what
in.
What you are saying right now is so important. If you can get people off the propofol, and what am I saying when I say propofol? The sleeping pill that has been given to us to take these stories as well as the Bible, literally. The story, you don't throw the story away. It's good, but it just does not mean what it was told to you. It meant there is no literal Santa Claus, but there is a process that the story of Santa Claus reveals to us when we look for the deeper esoteric meaning. And so what I'm here to do and what others are here to do is to reveal to you these processes because now it's time. Now, mm-hmm. The problem we face, someone's trying to text me while I'm talking. Okay, he wants to be unmuted. I didn't mean to mute you. I'm sorry. He said I'm muted. All right, you're unmuted, but hold on. Let me finish my thought, and I'll give it back to Imhotep. But because he's making a very – are you there, Pastor Abbott?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Now, you're making a valid point, but we get frustrated when we try to relay this information to people who are still asleep, who are still thinking that there is a literal damn Santa Claus. There's no damn literal Santa Claus. People who told the story did not intend for us to take the story literally. It pointed to a principle. But we were told by a group of people called the Romans. The Romans decided to control the world for the last 2,000 years, and they've told us to take this literally, and that is what we've done. That is a mistake. That is a mistake that we make in interpreting the entire Bible, is to take it literally. There was a council called the Council of Nicaea in 325 when they came up with the first church council. and they decided to make the wonderful, marvelous, mysterious, majestic, magnificent manifestations of the functions of the body, they decided to make them people rather than a process and principle. We cannot get our people unattached from that as long as they're doing what Frank said. Preachers are in there preaching this thing literally. The 25th of December is a cosmological event and a biological event that happens when the sun begins to move 1 degree after being still for 3 days, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, after it has been shortened or crucified in the constellation of the Crookes. It is a cosmological event. It corresponds to your biology, to your body, because your body is inextricably tied to the cosmic energy. So when the sun energy is decreased upon the earth or falls to its lowest point or is not hitting the earth at a certain angle anymore or falls to its lowest point, then that will affect your brain waves. It will affect you. It affects the electromagnetisms in you. You are tied to the sun. If the sun does not shine, there's no life on the planet. I hope I'm making sense. Because there's no, it's real technical, but this oil is so important. Now, go ahead, Frank, say what you want.
One thing I was saying, I didn't want to be, make you all think that I'm being so hostile. But the thing about it, if we had 50,000 preachers, and I know that a lot of them don't know what we're talking about, but if we had them to do the thing, to say the things and do the things they're supposed to teach, we would be fine. But as long as we're thinking about money, bills, cars, houses, women, we're going to have a problem.
And ego. Don't forget ego.
And ego. But I think if we can concentrate and make sure that we can, if we had those people, we'll be a better world.
M.O.T.E.P., you were talking. I cut you off. I said 15 seconds. I went 10 minutes. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm just listening. I enjoy listening. I don't know who that brother was just speaking, but I like him. I like the thing that he said. But I want to add this here before I really try to sound like I know what I'm talking about. Stevie Wonder made a song one time called Superstition. And there's one line in that song that I really always remember and carry forth with me. Said, when you believe in things that you don't understand, you suffer. We as a people believe in a whole lot of stuff that we don't understand. And subsequently, we suffering. And we made an art out of suffering because we feel as if this is a lot. This is the burden. This is what I must bear in order to validate my belief in whatever it is I believe in, even though we believe in a lot of stuff that we don't understand.
Well, you know, that is actually true. Bishop Abbott, you got the floor. You got the mic.
Well, so true, Brother Kerr and Bishop, because, you know, the seven dwarfs, they are the seven chakras, and Santa's reindeers, they could be the 12 planets, and you know, there's so much, the story of Jesus, he does everything that the sun, S-U-N, does. He's going to move 10 degrees sometime before daylight. He's going to move out of the winter solstice. And, you know, when you think about winter lasts the same amount of days as Noah's Ark floated on the water. You could have easily taken the concept of what the weather patterns do and made Noah's story, the boat rides on the winter, I think, for 150 days. Noah's ark rested on the water for 150 days. So, you know, if just like Ahotep said, if you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we're
even
not saying
star,
that.
Even the star, the mistletoe that's on top of the Christmas tree, and what that all means, and even with Heru in the boat, with the star above showing the Sirius connection and the alignment
of the three stars in Orion's belt, aligning with Sirius, which is the eastern star, tonight, December the 25th, pointing to the birth of the sun, S-U-N. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that the three stars, the three wise men, in the belt of Orion, above your heads, you don't have to take my word for it, are going to be in an alignment with the star system Sirius. So those three stars are going to point toward a star in the heaven. And that star is going to align with our sun, which signals the birth. So the three wise men following the star for the birth of the S-O-N is actually the three stars in Orion's belt pointing to Sirius, the star, that aligns and points to the birth of the sun, which on December the 25th will move 1 degree tomorrow after having had a sunrise at the same degree of latitude on the horizon for the last 3 days, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Now, when we go into the winter, as we've gone into it, the winter will last 3 months. 3 months, as Christ stays in the grave, 3 days. And then it will pass over the equator at the very same time we have what is called Passover and resurrection. I'm getting ready to run out of time. But the resurrection is the resurrection that the earth has when the sun passes over the equator and comes out of the three-month, three-day tomb of the winter grip. The ice melts, the cold leaves. The earth now receives the warm rays from the sun as it passes over the equator. Birds and bees start mating. Trees start blooming and blossoming and budding. Flowers grow. Comes back. Farmers get out, plant their seeds, because the earth now has received the energies and the warmth and the life-giving information from the sun that has come up out of the three-month tomb of winter and had a resurrection and passed over. All of this stuff is happening above you, just like right now. So the wonderful story, back to what I was saying, about Santa Claus coming from the colostrum of the brain. These people knew this. Don't be angry with them. They told these stories. They told them that he and me, somebody came along and decided to change up, put a Mickey in the drink and tell you that it meant something that it didn't mean, that you were supposed to take it literally. And those people were the Romans, who have been in control of everything that you can think of. I'm getting ready to get in trouble here now. Been in control of the drug trade, been in control of through the mafia, through human trafficking. The Roman Catholic Church was responsible for the slave trade, initiating the enslavement of Africa. All criminal activity goes back into the mafia, goes back into the church. The church has been responsible for this, and they have handed us these traditions down through the years, and yet we trust them, and now we're at a point where we've fallen in love with them. So we are entangled emotionally with that. We're entangled emotionally with a holiday that points us to a marvelous process. And there's much, much more I can say. Let me close by saying to you, those of you who are listening to me in the radio audience, that I am giving I'm giving an event that will teach you about this oil, teach you more about the marvelous processes in your body to activate your right brain. Pastor Abbott alluded to it a little earlier in the discussion, that the oil has to go back up the chimney to the pineal gland, and the right brain has to be activated. It's a little bit more to it than just that, raising it back up. But I am giving events. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Keep listening for the times and dates of these events when I will take you and show you how to be a priest in your own temple. You